Then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on land, they met him, a man from the city who had demons. For a long time, he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house, but among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice,
"What have you done to me, with me, Jesus? Son of the Most High God, I beg you, do not torment me."
For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus then asked him,
"What is your name?"
"Legion."
For many demons had entered him, and they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now, a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. The people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. 36. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away saying,
"Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you."
And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you so much, Robert and Mercy. Wonderful. If you come here regularly, you'll know that I'm going through a series in the Gospel of Luke. The last time I spoke on the story of the calming of the storm in Luke 8, 22 to 25, entitled, "How Do You Handle Stressful Storms in Your Life?" And a tremendous amount of response, both from those who were in church and those who were watching our live stream, etc., to that message. And it was very encouraging to hear that it even be preached in another country. Someone had enjoyed it that much. But today we are looking at Jesus has the power to transform lives. Amen? Jesus has the power to transform lives. And this is verse 26 to 39, the story that we just read, the story of the demonized man. And in the story of Jesus calming the storm that we were looking at last time, we see Jesus' power over nature. He tames the wild sea. He brings peace to the storm. In today's story, we see Jesus' power over the supernatural. He tames the wild man and he brings peace to a demonized soul. So this is what Luke is building, this picture of Jesus. And Luke is telling us just how special, just how powerful the human Jesus is. This is no ordinary man, Luke is saying. This is the Messiah, the promised Messiah at work. This is the God-man at work. This is the one sent from God, sent from heaven. This is God in human form. He has come to transform our world forever. He's come to transform life on earth. He's come to transform people's lives. He's come to transform our lives today, praise God. The coming of this human Jesus is so important that we, in a few weeks' time, will be celebrating his birth more than 2,000 years later. That is how important Jesus is. His coming is so important that our whole dating system changed from BC to AD. His coming is so important that it has changed world history forever. His coming is so important that his teaching has influenced governments and laws and philosophy and morality and so much more throughout human history. His coming, the coming of Jesus, is so important that it has transformed my life and many lives here and can transform each one of our lives. His coming is so important that it has changed the eternal destiny of billions of people in the last 2,000 years, and it can change your eternal destiny too, praise God. That is how significant the coming of Jesus is. And this story in Luke 8 is just one story of how Jesus transformed one desperate man's life. A man who has been controlled and destroyed by demons, and how his transformation affected a crowd of people and a whole city. And the message of this story is that if Jesus had the power to deliver this man from the demons that were destroying his life and bring total transformation to this man's life, there is no one here today who could not be transformed by Jesus Christ. In fact, there's no one outside of the church. There's no one who hangs around this church. There's none of those who go to the lighthouse or whatever it may be. Those who are injecting drugs, those who are living criminal lives, those who are mentally affected in different ways. There's no one who's beyond being transformed by Jesus Christ. Praise God. And so if Jesus could deliver and transform this man, Jesus can deliver and transform each one of us today. So that's my first point. Jesus has the power to transform lives. Just picture the scene of this story for a moment. You know, we read stories like this in the Bible and we sort of spiritualize them. We take away the reality of it. But, you know, just picture the scene for a moment. It is after the storm, okay? Jesus said they were crossing over to the other side. During that time, the storm takes place, and he calms the storm. It's after the storm, and Jesus and the disciples arrive on the other side of the lake where he had promised that they would be going. And as they are stepping out of the boat, they hear terrifying shrieks. And they see a naked, wild man running towards them. I didn't get into part, thankfully. Otherwise, the church would have been emptied today. This man who's running towards them is filthy. He's stinking. He's covered with scars. He's caked in dried blood. There's fresh blood flowing from where he had cut himself. His hair and his beard were a mess. His eyes were wild and demented. And I guess the disciples jumped straight back into that boat. You know, you and I would, wouldn't we? Like me. I guess they hurriedly jump straight back into that boat for protection, but Jesus steps forward. Jesus steps forward, unafraid, and he commands the evil spirit to come out of the man, and the man falls down before Jesus. The demons know exactly who Jesus is. It's interesting, isn't it? So many people don't understand who Jesus is, but the demons know who Jesus is. They know he's no ordinary man. They know he is the Son of the Most High God. And they beg Jesus not to torment them. And they beg Jesus to send them into the pigs. And the pigs rush down the steep bank into the lake and are drowned. But this man is totally delivered and transformed. The deliverance and transformation of this man is a clear example of the mighty power of God delivering and giving new life to a previously dead and demonized sinner. If Jesus had not delivered him, If Jesus had not given him new life, there would have been no lasting change in his life. And we know that because people had tried everything, hadn't they, to try and tame this man. They tried to help him. They tried to restrain him. They tried providing clothes and housing for him. It's all there in the scriptures. They tried to stop him living in the graveyard. They tried restraining him. They had sectioned him equivalently to what goes on today. They tried keeping him under guard. They'd even tried to bind and chain him with shackles. And every human attempt had failed. And it had failed miserably. You know, human solutions to people's spiritual needs and problems will always fail. Only Jesus, only the Son of God, has the power to deliver and transform people's lives. It's only as people come to Jesus that their deepest needs will be met. Margaret Sangster was a famous social reformer in America, working in one of the most, or some of the most deprived communities. And one day in one of these communities, she saw a small boy by the side of the road, and he was unable to walk. She discovered that he'd been knocked down by a car several months before, but his parents couldn't afford medical bills. And so the boy was just sitting there in the gutter by the side of the road, horribly injured and disabled. And she did something about that. She took the boy to an orthopedic specialist. She raised money for a series of operations so the boy could walk again. 2 years later, the boy came into her office, and to her astonishment, he walked in without using crutches. And he even did a cartwheel in her office to show how he had been wonderfully healed and transformed. And they hugged each other. And when the boy left, Margaret Sangster said that a warm glow of achievement came over her. She said to herself, if I never accomplish anything else in my life, at least here is one man to whom I can point that I have made a real difference. And years later, she would tell the story to audiences and ask, what do you think that boy is doing now? What do you think he's doing today? And people would suggest, well, maybe he's a doctor. Maybe he's a teacher. Maybe he's a social reformer. And she would say, no, he is in prison for one of the worst crimes a person can commit. Then she would say, I rescued him and taught him how to walk again, but there was no one to teach him where to walk. You see, human efforts fail because it is only Jesus, the Son of God, who can truly transform people's lives. And we need to recognize that. Secondly, every person needs deliverance and transformation. Luke 8 tells us there are two types of people who need the transforming power of Jesus. There are those who are like this wild man, who are obviously in the devil's grip. They look and they behave as if they were evil. And you can probably think of a few people like that. But there's a second type of people in this story who we might overlook. And that is the crowd who flocked out to see what had happened to this man. Outwardly, they were decent, respectable citizens. They were not conspicuous sinners, but they were camouflage sinners. They still need Jesus to transform their lives just as much as this wild man. And there are three clues that these crowd of people were actually in the devil's domain just as much as the wild man was. Firstly, the demons were at home in their region. Mark, in telling the story, the Gospel of Mark, tells us the demons didn't want to be sent out of their area. There was demonic powers controlling that whole area. Secondly, they were more concerned about the loss of the pigs than the miracle that Jesus had done in delivering and transforming this wild man. And then thirdly, we see that they begged Jesus to leave their region. They had been afraid of the wild man, but they were even more frightened by Jesus. And we see that mirror, don't we? So what happened in the calming of the storm? The disciples start off afraid of the storm and they end up more afraid of Jesus because they realize he's got greater power than the storm. And these people start off afraid of the wild man, the demonized wild man, but end up more afraid, more frightened by Jesus because he has the power to bring peace, to deliver the problem and the wild man. Jesus was a threat to their way of life. He was a threat to their economy. They didn't want Jesus to interfere with their lives. They rejected Jesus rather than experience that same transforming power that this man had experienced. You know, I want to say to you, most of the population of Sheffield and South Yorkshire are just like these people. They're decent people. They're not big sinners necessarily, although there's no category of sin. They're not criminals. They're just getting on with life. They even might like Christians and churches for all the good works they do in the community with feeding and caring for the poor and the needy. But they don't want Jesus to be interfering in their lives. They really don't. They don't want Jesus to be interfering in their family life. They don't want Jesus to be interfering into their community or into their city. They don't want Jesus to challenge or to change or to transform their lives or their family or their city. They don't want Jesus to come too close. And so they push him away. They beg him to leave them. Leave us to our own devices. To get out of our lives, our families, our community, our city. And we need to recognize that they are just as much in the devil's domain as this wild man. You know, it's easy to focus on the wild man and the very clear appearance of evil, but the Bible tells us that all of us are in the dominion of darkness until we're brought into the kingdom of God. Outwardly, they may look more respectable. But the Bible tells us that every person who doesn't have Jesus in their lives, who is not born again, is in the devil's domain and needs Jesus' mighty power to deliver and transform them. Paul says in Colossians 1:13-14, "For he delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." And the "us" there in that verse includes the religious, righteous, respectable, well-educated Paul, as well as those who were formerly pagan Gentiles. But the message of this story is no one is too bad. No one is too demonized for Jesus to deliver and transform them. Praise God. But respectable, camouflaged sinners are often more difficult to reach than the wild, conspicuous sinners. It's so often the way. You know, we see wonderful, last week at Alpha, we had the testimony of Graham Seed, an evil man, a man of violence, whose life had been transformed radically by Jesus. Powerful, powerful testimony. But you know, it's just as powerful when a nice, respectable, maybe even middle-class person becomes a Christian. The transformation may not be so great, but they still need the power of God to deliver and transform their lives. And every person outside of Jesus needs deliverance and transformation. And that leads me onto the third point. Jesus commands delivered and transformed people to proclaim Jesus. Verse 38 says, the man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away saying, return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. This delivered, this transformed man was desperate to stay with Jesus. He wanted to be with the one who had set him free. And you can't blame him, can you? Of course you'd want to be with Jesus. He wanted to leave his town and the wretched people who had rejected him and follow Jesus. He was ready to get back into that boat. But Jesus said, no, you have a job to do here. You have a story to tell. You have a testimony to share. You need to go back to those who rejected you, who were revolted by you, who tried to put you in chains, who were frightened by the demons that used to live in you. Go back home and declare and proclaim how much God has done for you. You have, this man has a mighty testimony to share of Jesus' power to deliver and transform your life. And how Jesus can transform lives through your story. You here today, on November, is it the 20th? 2022, has Jesus transformed your life? He's transformed mine. If you hadn't transformed mine, I wouldn't be standing up here. Transform mine. Has he transformed your life? You know, if you are a genuine Christian, Jesus has transformed your life. Even if you grew up in a Christian home and you did all the right things and all the nice things, Jesus has still transformed your life. Your parents didn't make you a Christian. It's about a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a genuine Christian, Jesus has transformed your life. You have been born again. You've been given new life. You've been rescued from the dominion of darkness and brought into his marvelous light. Praise God. Why? So that you may declare the praises of God who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You have a testimony to share. Make sure you share it. When was the last time you shared your story of how you became a Christian? When was the last time you shared with someone who wasn't a Christian what God has done in your life? Jesus commands us to declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Sharing and telling others what God has done for you is not an optional extra for super keen Christians and for gifted evangelists. Did you hear that? You know, so often we think, oh, well, you know, in the old days we say, oh, Billy Graham's going to be coming next year. And we save up all our evangelism when Billy Graham comes, or, you know, some great evangelist comes, because they're really good at telling other people about Jesus. You know, every single one of us has got a story to tell. We can reach out to people. You know, I don't know how many people are in this room and how many people are in the overflow and how many people are watching on live stream today, but we have the potential of reaching thousands with the message of Jesus if only we will open our mouths and share what Jesus has done in our life. And you know, there's a power in personal testimony. And if Jesus has truly transformed your life, you have got a story to tell. You can talk not about just about yourself. You talk about what Jesus has done in your life. And it can transform and it can bring hope to other people's lives. So it's not an optional extra for super keen Christians. Not an optional extra for gifted evangelists. It's for each one of us. Go and make disciples of all nations, it says. So we have a testimony to share. And Jesus commands us to do it. And it is the duty of every Christian. If you are not sharing your testimony with others, if you're not telling people what God has done for you, you are disobeying Jesus' command. And that's sin. We tend to think, oh, I'm so worried about all the sins we do. you know, the bad things we do, but do you realize it's just a greater sin if you keep your mouth shut and don't share Jesus with others? It's a sin. And we need to repent of it. And the way of repenting it is to turn the other way and to start doing it, isn't it? To start sharing Jesus. Pray for opportunities. You know, when you pray for opportunities to share Jesus with people, it's amazing who God brings into your life. And so often it happens that when you pray for them, you think, well, I wasn't thinking of that person, Lord. I don't really want to have to tell them. But, you know, that may be the very person who needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Pray daily for opportunities to share Jesus. You don't have to bash them over the head with the Bible. You just have to share your life story. Weave it into natural conversation. It's sharing what God has done for us. You know, it's no good coming to church here and thanking the Lord for what he's done for us. That's what we've been doing. Worship, isn't it? We love worshiping in this church because we want to thank God for what he's done in our lives. But one of the ways we thank God for what he's done in our lives is to share that good news with others. Because if he's transformed our lives, he can transform their lives too. The Bible says if you're denying Jesus, if you're ashamed of your Christian faith, Jesus will be ashamed of you and deny he ever knew you. What a powerful testimony this man had. His transformation was his testimony. His appearance was even his testimony, wasn't it? I mean, there he was, clothed in his right mind. I mean, that was a miracle, wasn't it? You know, his appearance was a testimony. His reformed character was part of his testimony. Everyone in the town knew him. They'd only ever known him as a naked, wild, violent maniac. But now he's there sitting down, clothed, and in his right mind. Praise God. In verse 35, the change was obvious to see. You know, you may not have had a dramatic conversion, but the change in our lives should be obvious for all to see, shouldn't it? Because there should be changed attitudes and actions. There should be a new love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, knowledge, self-control. I missed one else, I think. But, you know, it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit comes into our life, we're born again by the Spirit, and as the Spirit flows through our lives, so there should be a new love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, knowledge, self-control, flowing out of our lives. And that can be as big a change as this man's life. Years ago, one of the first Alpha courses we did, a lady who was a teacher, primary school teacher, came along to the Alpha course. She had a radical encounter with Jesus Christ. She wasn't a bad person. And she became a Christian. And you know, quite a number of her family and friends came to the next Alpha course. Because they wanted to know what had changed this lady's life. And I mean, I thought she was quite a... No, she was quite a feisty single parent mum, but she was very normal. But her brother-in-law came along and said, and I asked after he'd been coming for a while, I said, why did you come? Well, she said, this lady's name, said, but she used to be such a sod, sorry for saying that, but this is her precise words. And now she's completely new, and I had to come along to find out what God had done in her life, what was happening, the change in her life. You know, isn't that wonderful? You know, that all those people wanted to come and find out what God had done in this person's life because they were so different in their attitudes, in their lives in that sense. But this man didn't just let his transformed life be his testimony. He had an evangelistic passion to tell others about Jesus. He went away, it tells us, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus has done for you. Done for him. He told everyone in the city about Jesus and what Jesus had done for him. Everyone was going to hear about Jesus from this man as well as see the transformation in his life. Are you demonstrating a transformed life to those around you? Are you telling people about Jesus? Are you telling them about what Jesus has done for you and how Jesus can change and transform their lives. Let's stand together, shall we? And let's just pray. Father God, Lord, we want to thank and we want to praise you for this incredible story, this wonderful story of Jesus delivering and transforming this wild man. Lord, we thank and we praise you that Jesus has the power to deliver and transform us. Lord, that Jesus has the power to deliver and transform our friends and our family who do not know you. Lord, stir us up, Lord, as Christians. Lord, those of us who have had our lives transformed by Jesus, Lord, stir us up and send us out, Lord, to share with others, Lord, to boldly testify about Jesus. Lord, to boldly declare what Jesus has done in our lives and what Jesus can do in their lives too, Lord, we pray. So, Lord, I pray that, Lord, we would be a church that doesn't just gather on a Sunday, but, Lord, that goes out from this building to share the good news and the love of Jesus and the power of Jesus with, Lord, our family, with our friends, Lord, our workmates, those at the school gates, Lord, wherever we may be, Lord, that, Lord, even this coming week, you would give us opportunity to share Jesus with at least someone who doesn't know you. Lord, we pray, Lord, for the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon us. Lord, we pray that, Lord, you would fill us with your Spirit. Lord, that you would fill us with that fire we were hearing about last week, that we would go out boldly and share you with other people, Lord, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Amen.